there was a dialogue in the parsha of Baha'u'llah that I really think speaks deeply, and if it's understood well, it can prevent people falling into despair or having very deep disappointments. Bechlal, I think that most disappointments, a disappointment comes when you had an expectation that did not come to fruition. I think in life it's important to have expectations, both from yourself and from people around you. But many times we have the wrong expectations, or something which is something that would be great to have, but it doesn't have to be that way if we in our minds have a misunderstanding with that type of expectation, then the disappointment which will come if it doesn't happen will be unnecessary and could have been prevented. And I think that's the...
There's a bee right there.
That's fine. I don't care about it. And I think that is the goal of these few words over here. And I think they're very important. They prevent, and even when people are older and they already had certain disappointments, we do go back to the past, even though we can never change the past. And that's something that most people cannot accept. Go back to the past. But if we go back to the past and we understand that we had some sort of misunderstanding with our expectations, it could allow us to react towards life's disappointments in a healthier way. Now, this goes without saying that life is also filled with moments of joy, and life actually gives a person unexpected moments of joy. So I don't want this to be as a depressing talk. This is, God forbid. I think we all know how to manage joy. Maybe we should learn how to manage joy even better. And Hashem should bless everyone with many, many more moments of joy. Amen. But I want to speak about a disappointment that Moshe Rabbeinu had that is unique. Moshe Rabbeinu had disappointments, but unique to the point that he mamish told Hashem, take my life away. Which is a very sad place to be in. It's good for us to know that Moshe Rabbeinu came to that point. Hargeini no harog. He did not. Hashem responded to him. He had a conversation, but in his moment of wherever he was at, he told God, "Please kill me." That's a big statement.
So you don't need to be mental.
I would think that everyone in their life probably comes to such a point at some points. And if they do, they should not feel guilty about it just for that. Moshe Rabbeinu got there. I'm not talking about a person who is contemplating taking their own life. That's someone who is thinking of taking their own life, which is something prevalent. I would say that we all think we have good relationships with our kids. We probably do to a point. I think suicidal thoughts are prevalent by teenagers, whatever age that means, for both boys and girls. I know that suicide is contagious, meaning that if, God forbid, a child, a teenager, if they take their life, the other children that have this unhealthy way of feeling and thinking, the more vulnerable, and we should be aware of it. Parenthetically, in Crown Heights, this happens everywhere. It used to be that everything was covered up. Then even some Fruma communities got into a healthier place where people understand the benefit of Dafka not covering up. And what happened in Crown Heights is that not even that long ago, and this is not against, this is to the credit of Crown Heights, I think it was around 10 years ago. I remember when there was a teenager that threw himself in front of a train and succeeded in killing himself. And people were speaking about it. and there was a suicide up as 10 days later, and then there was a third suicide. And the mental health professionals, how amazing, needed to come to a Frumah community to tell us that no longer should there be any publication or spreading of this event, because it's contagious. So I just want to put it out there. So we have to be cautious when to share it, how to share it. All people today suffer from different types of mental ailments. Everyone suffers. The question is to what degree. And I don't think we should be confident that a person himself or herself might not have these thoughts. I'm not the professional, but they should be taken very seriously. Which means if a person has, you know, all these medications, when they tell you, and Bachal today, the smartphone knows, hears everything, and they try to, the AIA, they try to figure out all of the diseases that you speak about is because someone thinks you have this disease or that disease, and they advertise all of these medications, and they always put out there that it, one of the side effects is suicidal thoughts. Too many medications, and they say that to you. If a person has it, or if you are from the amazing parents to whom your children are comfortable to share even their dark side, don't take lightly if someone says that I'm having such thoughts. Reach out to people that know more and daven and do everything you could, and halavai we should be able to contain. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't, I'm just saying that Moshe Rabbeinu was asking God, take my life, which is a whole different thing. A whole different thing that's not borderlining anything unhealthy. Harigeni no haroig happens when a person feels, I would say, that their life's mission failed. You know, there are many things we want from life, but people can say, what's your life's mission? Whatever that is, if there's failure there, then a believer tells God, I don't see why I need to live. And to witness my downfall, from my perspective, take my life. One other side point, which is very important halachically, are we allowed for someone to die? That's also, I don't know if they make a link to Moshe, I don't remember it right now, but there's such a thing as allowed. That means if a person is in a lot of pain, a terminal cancer patient, so we don't believe in euthanasia, we don't believe in that. To some degree, we have to extend life. It's not the way people think, always forever. But to some degree, generally, our goal is to extend life. It's not wrong for a person to daven, God take me. Moshe Rabbeinu davened. I just want to say that. That's not suicide, that's the opposite. That's a person telling, I'm going to do responsibly what I need to do. But I want to tell you, God, that I see my life as such a failure, I don't see why I'm here. From my perspective, take me. And I'm trying to remember, there was a source in Tanakh where if we have someone that's very sick and they're suffering, then it's okay to daven to take them. God, either miracle or take them. Why this? That's a okay tefillah. But anyways, coming back over here. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu say, Hargeni no Harig? And we can relate to it. It's very relatable. And what Hashem told him in response is a good response to it. It's like Gavaldik. All of us develop. All of us. Every human being develops. Especially nowadays that we have relatively more time on our hands. We're not busy 12 hours a day. You know, the men plowing the land. People live longer. There is more free time, and there was a lot of growth in time management for all of us. It's a balance. It's important downtime versus people who think, oh, I'm not going to waste a second. This is a very unhealthy, unbalanced people. Downtime is important. Too much downtime is baltashkes. And we all have so much. And as difficult as it is for us, just imagine, we should have rahmanas on our kids. Rahmanas, compassion and empathy of how challenging it must be for them to know how to control and put the limit. I'm saying it's like, wow, it's like, so this is a universe. But I want to speak about that all of us, as we get older, we are all using some of our free time, meaning you don't have to change the diapers, you don't have to be plowing the field. We are all using some of that time to grow. All humanity. And as Yidden, we spend more time learning Torah. We are learning much more Torah than our great grandmothers. They didn't have time. Right? So if someone was very, very ruchniyazdik and they said Tehillim and they loved it, God bless them. Some people, it doesn't work. They need something. Today, there's a lot of growth. And there was a big challenge that comes with growth. And that's what I want to speak about. Is that when people feel like they are really growing, and when a person can say, wow, 10 years ago, I didn't have geschmack in this part of Yiddishkeit. And now I do. I could have more. Most people have that in some area. Or I know, at least for the men, it's a lot to learn. I'm more learned. And I feel more connected to Hashem. Or I never even dreamt about davening. Now I'm davening. Like, let's speak about, there is a part in our lives that grow. And I just gave examples of things that are relatively external. The most important, the mitzvahs, but external. Then you have inner growth. So let's say you have a person that they have enough honesty to own, yeah, that, let's say, I'm selfish, I'm narcissistic, I have control issues, I have anger issues, I have whatever, everyone, yada inish benafshi, we all have that. And not to be proud of it, but not to be ashamed. First, to know what I have. And some people make effort. I think life itself humbles a person. Today, many people, for this, going to therapy for this is a bracha. They're working on their midas. What can I say? Some people learn Musar. Some people learn Hasidus. Whichever derech. And here is the people who make real progress every now and then will all of a sudden find themselves back in square one. Back in the beginning. No progress. When the right button was pressed by the right person. By Hashgacha Pratis. And that could bring about terrible disappointment and even despair. And if one's spiritual growth is that important, which it should be, misunderstanding growth will make a person despair. I'm just giving that as a background. What happened? What happened was, is that it was a whole, Moshe Rabbeinu comes along. We went through a year of miracles. We went through a year, you know, I know we say these words, but we should understand what we're saying, that we were completely sunk, we, our grandparents, in the culture of Egypt that was coarse. So we were coarse. And in relatively a short amount of time, this was a gift from God. This was because of the right setting, with the right people, with eating the manna. There were many external opportunities. We had real growth, mamish growth. It's a great feeling. Imagine how they felt. Imagine a person who's so coarse, they don't even know how coarse they are. They think this is the way it is. And all of a sudden, they become refined. They become edel. And they look back at themselves and they say, oh my God. In a good way, the good shame, not the bad shame, not the demoralizing shame, the proud shame. I'm not even that person. I should have a new name. And how grateful that I am here. And it was a gift and all of that. And we became Nevi'im and we heard God. And we spent a year by Har Sinai. It must have been, you know, when people have over here a good Tishrei, a Tishrei of a year. You don't have to make food, only the good part. You know, it's people really grew. And the end of everything was, we're going into Eretz Yisrael. And we understood, it's about working the land, we're living in a bubble, we have to go back to real life. Guys, we were good, we were in a good place. And then going to Eretz Yisrael was miraculous. We were traveling what should have taken who knows how long, 3 days. We're moving. And all of a sudden, people experienced a relapse. What was the relapse? Just to understand what was. The manna satisfied people that were not coarse. The manna gave you all the nutrients. The manna even had a good taste. It wasn't, the Torah says, Kitzapichis bedvash. But for people now, some people, you have to, again, everyone, you can't disown something that you're not comfortable with. Some people are not even uncomfortable. Some people already are, some people are into food. I'm giving this just as an example. There is the healthy into food, right? There is the, we're not angels. It doesn't mean that you're amazing if you don't care about food. It means that you're unbalanced. But the into food has to be whatever the right place is. We grew and we had the manna. On occasion is, guys, life on occasion is also beautiful. It means it wasn't a system. Every now and then, Slav used to calm down with the manna. Slav is some sort of meat delicacy for people who like milk. Place lamb chops. I don't care. Some sort of delicacy. Whenever God wanted. So we had the standard. On occasion, we had something special. And for the way Hashem would want us to be, it was good. If a person was not coarse, it would have been good. And many people, too many people, at some point, they were gripped, relapse into having a need, which they did not, at least they were honest, that we want to eat meat. You want to eat meat every day. I need more gashmi. Not that we didn't have. I want more. And that more that we wanted was an indication that there was a part in us that's too attached to the coarseness of this world. If it would have come from a person that was always there, there would be no disappointment. It when Moshe Rabbeinu saw it, the first and last time, he told God, I can't. Mamish. He broke down. He told God, I cannot carry these people. He told God, kill me. I'm using his words. Hargeini, please. Hargeini na haray. And I cannot see the evil that's befalling me. So let's speak about Moshe Rabbeinu's mission. What his mission was until 80, who knows? But his life was to be a Rebbe. Moshe Rabbeinu, teacher is a poor word because we misunderstand the teacher. His job, his reason of living, mamish, was in order to elevate the people. Let's say a parent, we have a private life. I would say a parent, our mission is to raise a family. And if God forbid, someone feels that they failed at their mission, in the worst sense, in the tangible sense, no one should ever know when a child dies. The type of this, like, people, whoever went through that, God forbid, say they a part of them was buried. Because what they lived for failed. When people are more ruchniyazdik, Moshe Rabbeinu, to the point that he left his married life, means his life was mamish to inspire and to elevate us. And he saw success. If he never would have seen success, if we still would have been, the words are meshuka, sunken in to Egypt, he wouldn't have despaired. He despaired because he saw a lot of growth. And out of the left field, they say in English, we went right back to the way we were. And let me use now Hasidish words to explain why the despair if we are allowed to say that he had a misunderstanding, we have to be careful, but not him, but what we can learn from it. He had a misunderstanding. And we have that misunderstanding with ourselves. And that's something that if we hear and accept, it will give us the koach to deal with a relapse. What I'm saying now, we all heard, but I just want to say that in this discussion. Every person has within them a neshama, and every person has within them an animal. We have godly, we have human. And let's use the words of the Alter Rebbe, Behema, Nefesh HaBahamas. We spend, as Yidden, a big part of our life living with our neshama. And if we're Zoicha, and it's part of it is our work, we grow. We grow. The misunderstanding is, I know I speak about it a lot because I think it's such an important thing, is that we think that since there are many, many moments in our lives in which we're not aware of the behema, hopefully most of us, we come to a misunderstanding that it was already elevated. No, you did not miss. When a person is growing in any area of life, they can make the big mistake. This is a mistake in belief. It's a mistake from ignorance. That since I am growing, which I am, that all parts of me are growing along with it. That's the mistake. And it makes sense that greater people can make that mistake, because if you are spending most of your time and energy living with, let's say, your neshama part of life, even more than that, there will be many times that your neshama will have a refining effect on the animal part of life, which will be at that time emes. You can come to the wrong conclusion that all of me is getting elevated. That's a big mistake. Because if that is your wrong interpretation of where you're at, then you'll be so disappointed in yourself when at times, especially if it's rare, if it happens often, you won't be disappointed. You'll say, okay, you know, that's how it is. There's one part of me that's godly, Yasher Koyach. There's one part of me that's an animal. Okay, let me deal. But many people, especially by that moment, we were by Har Sinai, we were there for a year. We had, it's like Tishrei or whoever, whatever your time in the year in which you feel you're the most refined. If you go through a big time in that bubble, you can come to the misunderstanding that I finally graduated. And you're not wrong, you're only partially right. Some of you is growing. No one is going to take that away from you ever. But it doesn't mean that all of me is elevated.
Which part?
The animal in me is not elevated, which is why I'm not called a tzaddik, I'm called a beinoni. It doesn't mean that the animal in me did not undergo any type of elevation. I'm sure some of it at times did. But at times, the animal is the same animal. Let me, instead of speaking about self, let me give a good mashal with the kids. Right? We have kids, and God willing, we'll all have nachas from our kids.
Amen.
And the reality is that most of us, at times, will become aware of a certain behavior of our children that will be very disappointing. And what's important for the parent, of course, is not to ignore that. But while dealing with that to the best of the seichel that we could, we should never make the child feel that since some of them, some part of them, is involved in something that they should not be involved in, it doesn't discount the growth that they had in other areas. Because our kids are great. Even when we are focusing on some misbehavior. This is not a gimmick. We have to see it and feel it for us to be more successful in helping them address what I'm speaking about self, is that it's not like we're not growing. We're growing. We shouldn't exaggerate it. But when a person has growth, yasher koyach, and at the same time, don't expect for the animal in the person to grow as well. Hasidim gave a good mashal. I don't know if it's a Hasidish mashal, but we say it a lot by Fabrengens. Maybe it's a universal story, could be even, is that there was a king that was convinced by one of the chevra that they can educate his cat. He loved his cat to become a waiter, to walk on 2 feet and to carry a tray and to walk over to the people and say that. And he paid a lot of money for it. And the cat became a waiter. Came along Chacham, and he wanted to show the king that you don't understand what's happening, is that in the middle of his presentation, he took out a mouse, threw the mouse. The moment the cat saw the mouse, he, after all the 10 years of becoming a waiter, all of that regressed. He became a cat. He dropped his uniform. He went back on his fore, and he went chasing the mouse, which is the nature of the cat. That doesn't mean that the cat wasn't disciplined to behave like. The animal in us could be disciplined, has to be disciplined. Many times becomes so disciplined that it looks like it became a man, it became a tzaddik. And if you think it became a tzaddik, then when, if and when, and I would argue that it's not if, it's when, everyone on their level will notice. Imagine a person, just thinking, we like speaking about others. Imagine a person that every day is learning about not to speak Lashon Hara. And they become refined. And all of a sudden, 10 years into it, I don't know how God does it, they end up speaking so badly about the other as if the whole 10 years never existed. How does that person live with themselves? And this is us. The wrong conclusion would be, all of my work was in vain. Lehevel v'lorik, because look at me, I'm the same. The whole thing was fake. I was deluded. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu felt. He felt like it, after all of this, that's what people want. They want it was so coarse. In other words, it wasn't that they were deprived of meat. God gave them already. And we owned animals. It was coming from a place of narcissistic, like, I don't want to touch what God gave me, is what's mine is mine. I want more. Now we all have I want more, but we never experienced ourselves to be so selfless, to be shocked. Maybe we do. That's the word. You can be very selfless. Right? Parents are selfless by nature. And all of a sudden, you see yourself to be the most selfless person. How do you deal with that? And Chassidus gives us the right words, that we have within us a godly soul. The godly soul is selfless. And we even, because of our effort, we connect it to the neshama. And yes, your selflessness cannot be discounted. You were selfless yesterday. And right now, the behema saw the mouse, and it forgot the 10 years of training, and you're back to be a cat. Don't be disappointed. It's almost like that's the way it is. Now, what does it mean? It doesn't mean that there's no way of dealing with a cat. No. So what did God tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu tells God, kill me. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu that I want you to gather 70 people, and they will help lead the community with you. And it's a double. There are two opposite messages, and I think their mamash both need it. First of all, when Moshe Rabbeinu told God, take my life away, it wasn't only because he felt he failed. There's no progress. To which the response is, there was progress where you could make progress. And most people, in some areas, progress doesn't mean to change it. The cat will remain a cat. Progress will mean is that the person, most of the times, and we go all of the times, will be in control of it. So a person has an anger issue. Have anger. They have anger. They were conceived in anger. People have angry issues. And then they go to do therapy. And then all of a sudden, they get angry. So what do you tell such a person? Keep on going to therapy. At least now you know that you're not going to uproot it. You're not going to transform it. You can try to do it. Don't be disappointed if you failed. Your goal is, like the Alter Rebbe says, not to express it when you feel it. That's also success. When you feel angry, bite your tongue. I don't know what the lashon is. Bite your lip. The normal Yiddishkeit, machshava dibur ma'aseh, garments. You're angry, be quiet. You were hoping not to feel anger. Keep on hoping, keep on working. But if it comes out, don't be disappointed. So God told Moshe Rabbeinu, first of all, you aimed for the wrong thing. You thought that the goal is to make everyone tzaddikim. That's not the goal. That's beautiful. That's Tanya. The goal is not to be a tzaddik. The goal is to behave like a tzaddik. The goal is to attempt to be a tzaddik. But if you didn't become a tzaddik, that wasn't the goal. You're not that disappointed because you didn't expect differently. And you never deluded yourself that you became a tzaddik when you're not. But hold on. But now what? It doesn't mean now I give up. Okay, let me just finally give up my hand and say, okay, you see, we're fighting. There's no point. So why am I dying for what? No, hold on. We have to be able to manage it. Who is the right manager? Who would be able to role model managing a coarser part in the person? Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest tzaddik, or someone who's not such a great tzaddik? Who do you think?
Not a great tzaddik.
Moshe Rabbeinu, to some degree, when he also said, kill me, it wasn't only out of despair, is because he came to the conclusion that since he did manage to elevate his animal, Moshe Rabbeinu, he wasn't born that way, and he got to a place where evidently the majority of the people cannot get, so how can he lead them to a place to manage when he is not a manager anymore? He's not a Benini, he's a tzaddik. And God said, you're right. You're no longer qualified to lead the people by yourself. Who do we have to get? You have to get people that have that struggle and figured out how to, we're not tzaddikim, halavai we're tzaddikim in behavior, but a lot more than not, who manage that, that person will have the biggest influence on the struggle. And that, he accepted it. It wasn't a punishment. Like, you want to get, take Shivim Zakenim.
No. Didn't Yisro already give him that whole thing, like with people, like levels of...
I'm very happy you're asking that. So the difference between Yisro and this week's Parsha is that Yisro was looking at something very external compared to what we're talking about. Very external. There's a similarity in which Moshe Rabbeinu was adjudicating. Like, Tachlis, me and you have a machlekes, who owes who the $100? He was speaking about acting as a judge. Judgments are for, let's say, financial conflicts. Who is right, who is wrong? This is a whole deeper thing. Who is right, who is wrong? If someone has the information of what bracha do you make on the water, you don't need Moshe Rabbeinu to paskin you make a shahakom. And Yisrael told Moshe Rabbeinu, other people are qualified. Other people are qualified, delegate. Here we're speaking about... Okay, let me respond to your question from a different angle. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have more time, and if there would be much less people, then Yisrael's advice would be unnecessary. It was more of a technical, external. There's so many people. You're only one person. You're going to stand. You're going to work from day until night. You're going to get worn out when other people can do what you're doing. But even though other people can do what you're doing, Moshe Rabbeinu was qualified to do it. Here we're saying a whole different thing. Here we're saying that in one area, the person on a lower level is more qualified than Moshe Rabbeinu.
It's like somebody went through drug rehab themselves, they can help others.
Someone who struggles with drugs will be so much more influential on our teenagers versus a person that never took drugs. Because the kids, they look at you they don't relate to you. How can you be telling them what to do when you don't even have a desire to do what they're doing? Which is the wisdom of God, that God gave kids to parents, because always the case will be that in any struggle that they're having, one parent will be more qualified. Which parent? The parent that is familiar with that struggle, that did not transform themselves. And that's to the betterment of the child. The goal, in other words, the goal of Moshe Rabbeinu, to some degree, came to an end. The goal of elevating the people. The Ramban, these are shocking words, the Ramban writes something very similar, that 40 years later, or 39 years after the story, when people were thirsty, they were dying, they were thirsty, and Moshe Rabbeinu was told to talk to the rock, and he hit the rock, and Moshe Rabbeinu was told by God, you cannot enter Eretz Yisrael. What was his sin? So I also went to school. He hit the rock. You know what the Ramban writes? Bechlal not. Before he hit the rock, he called the people rebels. He said, Shimu na hamorim. Moirim, not mora, teacher. Moirim means a rebel. God told Moshe Rabbeinu that for someone on your level, who has that level of emunah, who all of a sudden there's no money in the bank account, for someone like you not to freak out, ishkoyach. But when a person doesn't have the basics, and they complain, don't call them rebels. Why are you calling them a rebel? Because you forgot what it means to be there. You became so lofty, you forgot what it means. You cannot lead them anymore. And this is so basic and so important. Let's speak about children. How important it is as we grow older, and in some areas we evolve, in whatever area you think it is, don't forget about how you were 20 years ago, because your kids need you. The version of your 20-year-old, they need that. Don't fly to the heavens. It's not good for your children. It's not good for the people around you, unless everyone is flying to the heavens together. And that's not the way God made the world. And if we do lose touch, then we have to ask for help. I have to know my limitations. I will never be able to inspire someone to deal with a certain type of whatever their mishagas is if I cannot relate to it anymore. I will not be able to help them. I should know that. And if it cannot help them, then find someone who could. Then find someone who could. A Rebbe, on the other side, when the Rebbe would meet people in a private audience, the experience for the Rebbe was extremely, extremely difficult. It took away all of his koyach. And not because the Eitzah was something so difficult for the Rebbe to come up with. All of the Rebbes had a similar thing. Many Rebbes, they would perspire the most when they would meet people. What they would say is that when someone comes to them with whatever it is that they're struggling with, prior to them giving advice, their issue was coming from a certain failing. The Rebbe says he needed to identify in himself that failing. Obviously, on a more refined level. Can you imagine? And then work on himself to take a step up. And then he's qualified to turn to the chassid and tell the chassid advice. To the point that there was a story that the Mittler Rebbe was seeing people in the middle of a yechidus. He told the gabbai, stop. And he was up 6 hours, he was secluded. And all these people are waiting. So the gabbai said, Rebbe, there are people waiting. He told this gabbai that this person's issue was coming from something so coarse that there's a bee in here. Yeah. I'm sorry to the bee. I think I hurt the bee.
It was already hurt.
So. Yeah, it's hurt.
It was hurt from before, yeah.
That Mittler Rebbe says, I can't, no, just to know, when a creature is not living because the table is like a mizbeach, there's an inyan to take it off the table.
Okay.
It's kach shamati. Because of the kedusha of the table.
Okay, good to know. Thank you.
Imagine the Mittler Rebbe says, I can't. He was having a hard time finding. How beautiful is that? How beautiful is that? Is like the kid does something wrong. Let me own that. Where do you think the kid got it from? From me. If I can identify it, and I can already begin doing my own tshuva on my level, then I'm qualified, and I can have the right influence on inspiring, and the same thing is with others. And if I can't, now is the time for you to speak to your spouse, who you think, my spouse is so underdeveloped, good, they're qualified. You're the big chacham, you're amazing. Your spouse that doesn't get it, they are the ones that are going to help, because they don't get it like your kid. And I'm saying this cynically and ironically to see how what is less is more.
Baba, can you talk about the mechanism of a self-improvement? Earlier in the class, you were talking about how, you know, who is the, which part of us, the one who wants to get better? We find, is that the godly neshama, is that the behemoth that's trying?
The godly neshama develops, and the godly neshama, to some level, schleps the animal along in a good way. I think the story with the mouse is a good mashal. But in the core, if we expect for the animal to become a waiter, we're misinformed. And even if we teach our animal to behave like a waiter, when God will want, he'll pull out a mouse for us to see that the cat is the same cat.
So the godly neshama affects the behemoth?
To some degree.
The behemoth itself wants to get better.
Even if the behemoth wants to get better, the tragedy is that the behemoth is unable to.
Unable?
Unable to. That's everyone's frustration. That's a universal frustration. Good people. Wasting time. Who wants to waste time? No one looking back. Going forward, tell a person who knows, I want to be productive today. You tell a person, you want to be productive? Are you speaking Shabbos? Like, when you wake up in the morning, don't open up your smartphone. Don't look at what came to you. You're going to spend your whole day being reactive. You want to be proactive, wake up in the morning, make a vow for 15 minutes, get out of bed, say moida'ani, say brachas, epis. And it's going to change everything. Everyone knows it. No, go do it. Most people can't do it. Why? Because my mind understands it. My godly soul understands it. My nefesh ha-Bahamas doesn't care for all of this. He wants to be in bed, perfect timing, everything. This, my mishogas. And everyone in their thing. I'm just giving a bad example, which is a good example, because a person will get so suicidal by, oh my God, I'm such a loser, if they expect something of themselves that is not to be expected. Don't expect for the animal to change. Expect for the animal at times to be refined. Expect for the animal to relapse. Expect for it to relapse. Don't be disappointed in yourself. The Alter Rebbe says it's coming from arrogance. And even if you're working on something, and even if you see growth, that's the word. Even if you see growth in yourself, because if you can accept it for yourself, you'll be so much less judgmental in others. Because what that means is not that my growth was growth, but my growth was not all of me. Some of me did not grow, was stunted. Yeah, we all that way. Once we know that's the way it is, so we're going to see on the other person also in some area limited, we're not going to judge them as limited. We're going to say, no, they grew in some areas. We're going to see that. And in they, and that, and this, what we look, they're stunted, like me, like everyone else. It won't be an overwhelming disappointment. That's the disappointment that I was saying, that many people have disappointments that are not necessary. They had a wrong understanding. If a person thinks they'll become a billionaire, they'll be disappointed that they weren't. Who told you you'll become a billionaire? No one can guarantee. If you know no one can guarantee it, you're going to try. I'm going to try to elevate my animal, but I won't be despair. I won't go into a, oh my God, what's the point of my whole life? I never expected. I was hoping, I was working, but the base, like people who expect, like the simple words, you expect life to be wonderful, you'll be very disappointed when you'll have a painful moment. If you don't have that expectation, you want it to be wonderful, you should work for it, you should daven for it, and God should give you many, many, many more. But if, God forbid, there is a moment of pain, you know, okay, it's to be expected. Not to ignore it. It's not going to destroy you and everything else in life that way. Some expectations are important. Some expectations are false. And if we have a false expectation, the disappointment could be prevented. And even in retrospect, I was disappointed yesterday. Someone should tell me I had the wrong expectation. Sheva Pama means even a tzaddik. But even a tzaddik, won't always remain on that lofty level. They will fall. We are destined to fall. And therefore, don't be despair. The person, someone never spoke Lashon Hara, someone great, first of all, amazing, super amazing. But if they fall, doesn't mean they should say, okay, no, they shouldn't have Yiyush. Doesn't mean the hard work was in vain. The hard work was amazing. Your godly soul is amazing. Your animal was trained, amazing. And now the animal came back. And
the Yitzhahara wants you to be despair. It makes you fall and then it gets you down for being despair.
That's right. That's right. Moshe Rabbeinu despaired. Some of the despair was legitimate because Moshe Rabbeinu, because him becoming the tzaddik, was not the most qualified in the areas of very core struggles. For that, you have to have other people that are not as great as Moshe. And that's a big takeaway for us. Big takeaway. Sometimes you wonder, who should your kids be friendly with? They should be friendly with very lofty people. They should be friendly with people that are not so lofty also, not people that are misbehaving. It's good to have both. If you have if your child has a friend that's struggling in that same area, that's good. They can schlep each other down, they can bring each other up. If your child will have a perfect tzaddikim friends, you're not doing your child a favor. Because in his or her struggle, no one in their life is relatable. And we become unrelatable to our kids. That's my conclusion. I'm already in a couple of years ahead. It's hard. That's called a generation, just to own it. The older we get, just to know, the younger kids, your older kids were able to relate to you more. For sure. Because we were younger, we were less developed, more relatable. You become older. So you think, how great, now you already became more refined. Great for you, nebuch on your kids. Almost like, don't grow that much. Don't fly to the heavens. Stay here in this Olam Hazeh to be able to be a better parent with your kids. And when the kids struggle with something, relive it. How did they do that? Before you go there, Fakert, remember how you had that. He's just like me. And even tell it to them. That will help them. To them to know that you were just the same way. And look where you're going to be. You're going to be even better than me. You'll for sure be as good as me. So don't despair.
Can that be related to, I think there's a Yom Yom in like Tavis or something about two Nefesha Elokis against
one Nefesha Bahamas. So I would say, yeah, there's a Hayom Yom that says when two Jews get together, it's two godly souls against one animal soul. And the question is, why, if two people get together, it's two godly souls, but it's two animal souls. So it's two against two, not two against one. So the word over there is that my godly soul wants for me to grow and wants for you to grow. My animal soul is so narcissistic, it doesn't care about you. It doesn't see you, it just sees me. From the perspective of the animal soul, that I am Yom is coming from a place that we have within us terrible narcissism, all of us. And we don't even see the other. So my animal is only focused on me. But my godly soul is focused on me and on you. And so when people are together, we help each other. We should have been gathered 70 people, even if they had animal souls, but their animal soul was only focused on themselves, and he helped the people. And the people were helped. Now, By the way, what happened? Just to know what happened. How did God deal with that the desire of having meat?
Wasn't there a chet haslev where a lot of
we're talking about
killed?
That.
Yeah, so he killed people.
That is what happened. But the way I see it is, I mean, you have to be careful. I'm speaking to adults over here. Is that how did they deal with it?
Did their stomachs explode?
Yeah, they ate until they died from overindulgence. In other words, God forgive me if this is misunderstood, and if I misunderstand it, that's the worst thing. But I can only share with what I understand, that some mishogasin, the best way to deal with it is to allow the person have that experience and see how that experience at the end led to nothing.
To self-destruct?
Self-destruct. Self-destruct by... There is a mystery of the sin. I'm not talking about some sins, God forbid, may never be done. I'm talking about such a thing. They had meat, they wanted more meat. So how do you address it? This is not a holy Eitzah. This is like a down to earth. This is not a Moshe Rabbeinu's Eitzah. Okay, let's go for it. Live it out. Give him the thing that they want. Give it to him b'harchava, and they're gonna eat it. And then the taiva died. Okay. I want to tell you that there are certain Yetzer Haras that only exist in the religious world because we are so deprived, thank God, we're so separated, thank God, from so much that people begin to fantasize, ooh, if only it's garnished. People that are not from, they don't even desire it because it's nothing. Would you think that this love was so amazing? It wasn't so amazing. Every now and then it was good. You think you're going to have steak every day, it's going to be so amazing. And all of our Olam Hazadik things that we want, in the right amount, it's good. In the wrong amount, we experience a bad experience. Sometimes let the person have the bad experience. That's how they learn. Go do it. Instead of, don't do it. And then who knows what they're thinking. They're thinking about it the whole time. Now you have to be careful where to apply it. Some things they should never do. But some teams, the approach is, if you'll do it in abundance, you yourself will die. The taiva dies. Indulge. Let's indulge. Then you learn. Indulging is not good. We all learned that. How did we learn it? Not because we're big tzaddikim, because we overindulged. We drank too much, and it was such a horrible experience that we'll never do it again. That is what happened. Instead of don't drink. You're right. Don't drink too much. You're right. 100%. But if someone overindulges, the gift that God gave us is that the mashke is going to make you brech, that you're going to vow, I'll never, ever do it again until when you do. that's the behemoth. But there is something to that. So maybe there's something of how to negotiate with the behemoth, with the cat. That's a cat, not the cat that's the waiter. Some of it is okay. You want a mouse? I'll give you 50 mice. Go eat it. The right way, not with anger, but I'm saying, yeah, I think our kids were us. Things that are kosher, the sin was unmoderated, just to make it, certain things should not be had. If it's a question of moderation, you can propose moderation. If someone is not satisfied, there is a time and a place where the eitzah, I think that's the eitzah. Okay, go for it.
But they died.
Doesn't mean they died. Sinners, they died. Talking about the concept of the taiva will die. Yaf, I'm not taking the story out of the literal. I'm just trying to say that what should we learn from that?
Right.
I think it's a very powerful story that if people have the wrong expectation, they go into despair. Moshe Rabbeinu felt like he failed. And God needed to tell him, you didn't fail. They were never meant to get rid of their animal. Moshe Rabbeinu told God, but I don't have an animal. God says, you're right. You cannot lead them. Let's get other people who have an animal. And what did they do? That you want something kosher immoderately until you blow in your face. Look at parents that never give kids candy ever, ever. And then, is it good for them? Again, I'm not a parent in this. I mean, I never parented that way. So I'm not going to minimize. I'm not a maven. I'm like anyone else. I'm not speaking Torah. All I could say is that when you give your kids in abundance, many of them, the ones that don't get diabetes, many of them, they don't care for candy. They outgrew it. Why did they outgrow it? Their taiva was killed because they once after Purim ate so much candy that they brecht. And if you're always managing, you're always controlling, sometimes you have to know when to apply it. You have to be wise. You have to be careful. But there is an approach of sometimes for the animal. For the godly, moderation is holy. Immoderation is never okay. But for the animal, sometimes, maybe even that's purim. Purim, we're supposed to get drunk. Maybe that's it. Sometimes, go for it. Or in Ruchnius, fast Yom Kippur. Become holy like a malach. Knock yourself out if you like that. Some people love the crying and despair. God gave you a Tisha B'Av. They love it. No, it's God says, if this is your animal, once in a while, go all the way. You want to go on vacation. Well, that's vacation. Some people, vacation is, I can wake up whenever I want. Okay, so go sleep the whole day. Give it. Take it. And then you'll feel like, ugh, what did I do? I wasted the whole... The person who's addicted to that should not be given that. They're going to do it again and again and again and again and again. And they'll die. That's not the goal. The goal is... It's a Torah that cannot come from Moshe Rabbeinu. Spiritual people, that's... cannot help you that much. Or let's speak for us that we have to be able to relate to our kids, even when we get older, and to the grandkids. And if they do things, instead of us focusing on how I cannot relate to it, which won't help anyone, just going to put you in despair, is to somehow do what the Rebbe's did by Yechidus, to say, no, I have that. The same thing in another area. Let me look at that. Let me do my own tshuva. Let me this. Let me connect to my child. Let me make sure that when I engage, I don't judge all of them, because there is other areas, the other growth is valid. It's just in this area. Be careful.
It's a very delicate balance.
Very delicate balance, that is. Takes a lot of chachma, and it's easy to talk about it, and then everyone gets their buttons pressed when something happens, and stuff happens. And if you think it didn't happen, it means you're so disengaged from your kids. That's why you think it's not happening. You're the worst off out there. That's important. If you think your kids are tzaddikim, I feel bad for you. Our kids are both tzaddikim and they're human, like we are. We have to do the best we could. All right.